వివేక చూడామణి శ్లోక 407. చిత్తములో వికల్పోయం చిత్తాభావేన కశ్చన అతశ్చిత్తం సమాదేహి ప్రత్యగ్రూపే పరాత్మని. శంకరాచార్య హీ పాయింట్స్ అవుట్ దట్ ది మైండ్ ఈస్ ది కాజ్ ఫార్ ఆల్ ప్రాబ్లమ్స్. మన ఏవ మనుష్యాణం కారణం బంధ మోక్షయోహో. బిట్వీన్ బంధం సంసార అండ్ మోక్ష ఓన్లీ మైండ్ ఇస్ ది కారణం. దట్స్ వాట్ వీ హ్యావ్ టు ట్రీట్ ఈస్ నాట్ ది ఎక్స్టర్నల్ వరల్డ్ బట్ ది ఇంటర్నల్ వరల్డ్. దట్ ఈస్ అవర్ ఓన్ మైండ్. అండ్ హూస్ మైండ్? అవర్ ఓన్ మైండ్, నాట్ సమ్వన్ ఎల్సెస్ మైండ్, వన్స్ ఓన్ మైండ్. అండ్ ఫార్ దాట్ హీ సేస్ చిత్తమూల అహం వికల్ప. చిత్తమూల అహం వికల్ప. వీ హ్యావ్ టు ట్రీట్ ఇట్. సో వికల్ప మీన్స్ డివిజన్. డివిజన్ ఈస్ యు నో duality representing samsara. Any division represents samsara. And dvaitam means, you know, we already told many times, dvaitam refers to samsara only. So I am vikalpaha, this plurality, the duality, this plurality, which is nothing but samsara, that is chitta moolaha. Chitta moolaha means that is caused by the mind, chittam. It's a bahuvrihi samasam for those people who are interested in that. Chittam moolam yasya saha chitta moolaha vikalpaha. So mind is the cause of plurality and consequent samsara. And how do you prove that? You have been going through that every day. How do you prove it? By the method of anvaya and vyatirikta. This we have seen this method earlier. We have talked about this before also. Anvaya and vyatirikta. When the mind is active, problems are also there. When it is resolved in sleep, in deep sleep state, in sushupti, when the mind is resolved, problems are also resolved. So when mind is, problem is. When mind is not, there is no problem. Therefore, mind is the cause of all problems. Yat sattve, yat sattvam. Yat abhave, yat abhavaha. Tat tasya karanam. That is the anvaya vyatirikta method. So this is called, this method we have seen earlier. And I am vikalpaha, chitta moolaha. Because chitta abhave, actually this is the vyatirikta nyaya. Chitta abhave, in the absence of chitta, na kashchana, there is no division at all. In the absence, when the chittam, the mind is not there, na kashchana, there is no division. In deep sleep, there are no divisions at all. Okay, so this statement is a true statement. But if you do not understand the statement properly, then it can create confusion also. How? What the statement says? The statement says, when mind is there, problems are there. And when the mind is dissolved temporarily in sleep, when we, you know, in deep sleep state, sushupti, when the mind is temporarily dissolved, problems are also resolved. So mind is the cause of samsara. Therefore, what should you do for moksha? If mind is the cause for samsara, what should be done for moksha? Destroy the mind. That is, you know, mano nashaha. So this is the philosophy many people have arrived at. Mano nasham kuru. Not only they have concluded that, they say all jnanis have no mind at all. They have done mano nashaha. Then who is operating? God is operating. All these nyaya, they tell all these arguments, some of these people, some of these philosophers. But if destruction of the mind is moksha, then it will mean the moment a person gets moksha, what he loses? He loses his mind. Once the mind is gone, there is no difference between a live person and a dead person. Or a person who is a vegetable, for example, in the hospital, you know, they just keep somebody alive by, you know, connecting so many wires and tubes and all that things, a vegetable life. What is the use? He is technically alive. Imagine, if that is the case, will anyone like moksha? If that is the kind of moksha a person has to have, who will like it? So remember, we don't aim at the destruction of the mind. In reality, we need a mind which is much superior to a samsari's mind. That's what we need. Which is actually beautifully described in the Bhagavad Gita. Advesta sarvabhutanam maitra karunaha nirmamaha, nirahankaraha, all these virtues of a jivan mukta, of a jnani, like compassion, karuna, they all belong to what? Atma or mind? Compassion, does it belong to atma or does it belong to mind? Compassion belongs to atma or mind is the question if we ask. It belongs only to the mind. Atma is nirgunam. Atma is, you know, nishkalam, nirakaram. So when we say jnani is an embodiment of compassion, it means he has a mind. We have told already a guru is karuna sindhu. He is the ocean of compassion. That means he has a mind, and that too a beautiful, blessing mind. That's what a jnani has. So when we say mind is the cause of problem, it means an ignorant mind is the cause of problem. So one should not attempt to destroy the mind. It's an ignorant mind. So doubting mind is the cause of problem. Ignorance is gone, for example, but doubt still lingers, and that is also a problem. Or, for example, a forgetful mind, that is also a problem. After study of Vedanta, one studies Vedanta for so many years, if I am still suffering from samsara, what does it mean? It is not ignorance, not even doubt, but our samsara is caused by the forgetful mind. At the moment of crisis, we forget the Vedantic teaching, which means it is not yet totally internalized. Whatever teaching was done, that knowledge was not totally internalized. Therefore, what should be destroyed then? We should destroy the ignorant mind and enjoy a wise mind. And we should destroy a doubting mind and we should destroy the doubting mind, enjoy a mind of conviction. And we should also destroy the forgetful mind and enjoy a non-forgetting mind. Therefore, let the mind be there. We are not talking about mano nashaka. Let the mind be there. Destroy only the ignorance, the doubt and the forgetfulness, which are all in the mind. Forgetfulness is called viparita bhavana. This term also we are familiar earlier. So viparita bhavana. So Shankaracharya says here, ataha. So for this person, for you, Shankara is actually addressing an advanced student. He assumes lot of things for the student now. And your problem should be only a habitual identification for this advanced student who has gone through Shravanam, Mananam and all those things. Your problem is habitual identification with Ahankara. Viparita Bhavana Sahitam Manaha. Your mind, Viparita Bhavana. Therefore, Ataha. Viparita Bhavana Pratibandha Sattva Chittam Samadehi. That's what the sloka says, if you read it. So, therefore, may you practice Samadhi Abhyasa Samadehi. Samadhi or absorption. That is in what? Pradyak Rupe Paratpani. May you be absorbed in your own higher nature, Paratmani. You are invoking your own lower nature for all the transactions with the world. You are invoking your own ego for all transactions. Even when visiting a temple, we go to temple for what? To remove the ego. But there also one says, I have donated 5 lakhs, 10 lakhs, all that thing. Therefore, I want the first prasada. I should be sitting in the first row. They should do the first sankalpa. All that thing. You know, there was I don't remember, in Tamil there was a movie long ago, Mudal Mariyade, the first corner. So that ego comes, even in the temple. So since all the transactions, they all invoke our ego, and sometimes even in Vedanta, I have said, one person says, I have studied Brahma Sutra, so I am superior. You have not read that. Another one says, I have studied not only Brahma Sutras, I have studied the Brahma Sutra Bhashya also. And another person says, I have read the Tika also. So higher ego. So anything can trigger the ego. Therefore, spend some time in which you are not even a knower I. Even the knower I is the ego. Because knower I has got limitation. What is the limitation of knower I? It knows many things, but it does not know many more things. The knower I. Therefore, drop your own knower I and get absorbed in the Pramatru Vilakshana Sakshi Chaitanyam. Therefore, Pratyag Rupe Para Atmani. In your own higher self, which is the inner nature of yourself. Pratyagrupam, that means what? Prajak Swarupam, that is para atma, the higher nature, as opposed to apara atma, para atma, so that's what we have already discussed, so which is the ego. So may you practice this meditation. How to do that? Shankaracharya, he need not guide us, but again he is telling how one should invoke one's higher nature. Actually, he has already discussed this in detail earlier, but even then he wants to make sure that it is again emphasized here. Shloka 408. Kimapi satata bodham kevalananda rupam nirupamamati velam nityamuktam niriham niravadi gaganabham nishkalam nirvikalpam hridikalayati vidvan brahmapurnam samadho. How a Vedantic student does samadhi abhyasa? So Acharya writes three beautiful shlokas. In all these three shlokas, that is shloka number 408, 409 and 410, the fourth line, Hridi Kalayati Vidwan Brahmapurnam Samadav, that is the same line. Fourth line is common in all the three shlokas. So let us first understand the meaning of this last line, Hridi Kalayati Vidwan Brahmapurnam Samadav. So Vidwan Samadav Hridi Purnam Brahma Kalayati. Purnam Brahma Kalayati. This Vidwan, he thinks of, he Kalayati, thinks of or invokes or meditates upon. Kalayati is Jayati. Where does he meditate? Hridi, in his or in her heart or in the mind, he invokes. What he invokes? Purnam Brahma. He invokes in his mind the Brahma Chaitanyam, which is Purnam. Because in the mind, there are two things are there constantly. One is the constantly changing thought. Our thoughts keep on changing. Sankalpa vikalpatmakam manaha. That is how it was defined in Tattva Bodha. Always that is this vacillation, fluctuation. So constantly changing thoughts in the form of raga, dvesha, kama, krodha, lobha, moha, matmasriya, all those things. And in the form of consciousness, which illumines. For example, if you want to give an example, in this particular room, there are so many varieties of things and beings. But there is one changeless thing, namely what? The light, in which every changing object is soaked. Every object that is in this room, they are all soaked with the light. The objects are moving, but not the light. And our mind always pays attention to what? If you think of the mind, it's a moving thing alone. For example, many times in a class setting, when I used to teach in-person classes, now only we have got these webinars, in-person classes, when some person, he just inadvertently or whatever it is, he moves, he gets up or does something, everybody's eyes and the heads automatically turn towards that person. So physical movement, this always happens. So the mind always pays attention to a moving thing alone. So if you look at the mind, that is this changeless consciousness, the Chaitanyam, because of which every changing thought is known, is illumined. And we always turn our attention to the thought and not to the Pratibodha Viditam. So the Chaitanyam. So Samadhi Abhyasa is what? Is turning the attention to the Chaitanya aspect of the mind, the Chaitanya Amsha of the mind. That is why they say, what do they say? This is the principle of the Rasa Krida. You know, in Rasa Krida, for people, you know, those who are familiar with Rasa Krida and all that thing, the Bhagavatam and all those Puranas, they sing, actually in the Radha Kalyanam and all those kinds of South Indian bhajan, sampradaya, they have this thing, particular stanza they sing, Anganam, Anganam, Antarena, Madhavaha, Madhavam, Madhavancha, Antarena, Anganam. They normally hold each other and all do dance around the Deepam and all. Angana means gopis, all these gopis, which represents the thought. Gopis, they represent the thought. And Madhavaha is Krishna, which represents what? Chaitanya. So the gopis, they represent the thought. And Krishna, Madhava, represents the Chaitanyam. So first the focus is on the thought. And you say, between two thoughts, there is one Chaitanyam. Between two gopis, there is Krishna. So thought is pradhana, that is first important, first. There are a lot of gopis and Krishna is in the middle. Then later you say, it is not Chaitanyam in between the thoughts, but thoughts are rising in one continuous Madhavam, Madhavancha. So that is the significance of that particular type of sampradaya. So the two anganas are different, the two gopis are different. One gopi is different from another gopi. One thought is different from another thought. But Madhavaha, Krishna, the Chaitanyam is same. So when you turn the attention from the changing thought to the changeless I, the consciousness, and claim that consciousness, I am. That is what we claim. Then what is it? What is turning the attention? Turning the attention is entertaining a thought. And what is that thought now? This ever-evident Chaitanyam, I am. This ever-evident consciousness, I am. Sakshi Chaitanyam, Aham Asmi. That is the thought you entertain. This Vritti Pravaha, this is called Hridi Kalayati in this shloka. Hridi Kalayati is this Vritti Pravaha, this thought Pravaha. So Vidwan Hridi Kalayati. So Vidwan is this wise person. This wise person, here Vidwan, the one who has gone through Shravanam and Mananam. That person is called a wise person here. Therefore, Shravana Manana Karta Vidwan, that is, he is what? Nididhyasati. That person, he is absorbed in what? Purnam Brahma. He is absorbed in Purnam Brahma, in the Sakshi Chaitanyam, which is nothing but Brahman. And what type of Brahman? Purnam Brahma. So, this is the job done in where? In Samadhi Abhyasa. And that is repeated in all the three shlokas. This is the thought that is repeated in all the three shlokas. And the rest of the three shlokas is the description of this Purnam Brahma. What is that Purnam Brahma? What is the nature? So that is what is described in the other three lines. Now let us go to the first line of this shloka. Kimapi satata bodham. Which is nothing but the non-fluctuating consciousness. Satata bodham means always remaining same. However violent the thought may be, even in the most violent mind, consciousness, the Chaitanyam, is the calmest entity. It cannot be disturbed at all. That undisturbed consciousness is what? I am. Satata Bodham. Kevala Ananda Rupam, which is of the nature of Ananda. It is of the nature of Ananda, which is free from all dukkhas, all kinds of disturbances. Dukkha Rahitam, it is. Dukkha means finitude. Yes, Dukkha means finitude. You know, you are infinite. Chaitanyam is infinite, but because of your ego, you become finite. The finitude, and that is why Dukkha. So, free from finitude, and Nirupamam, Upama. Upama means comparison, match. So, Nirupamam means what? Without any comparison. It is matchless. It is incomparable. Why so? Infinite can be only one. It cannot be a second thing other than infinite. So, nirupamam. Na vidyate upama yasya tat. Upama rahitam ityartha. That's what it means. This is nirupamam. Incomparable. And ativelam. Ativelam. Vela means boundary. Asima. Limit. Ativelam means limitless. That is, this is anantam. And when we say limitless, it is limitless space-wise, it is limitless time-wise, and it is also limitless property-wise. We have seen this also earlier. Desha, Kala, Vastu, Paricheda, Shunyam. That is called Ativela. All this we have seen. That's why I am just mentioning all of them. Vela means limit. Na vidyate Vela, Sima, Esya. So, Nisimam. There is no boundary. Then, Nitya Muktam. It is ever free, nitya muktam. Not that through Vedantic study a person got freedom. You have to be very careful. Vedanta never gave me freedom. If one says that I got freedom through Vedantic study, that means what? He has not understood Vedanta yet. Because if you get freedom through something, then freedom becomes the result of some action. Everything we have to logically understand. So if freedom is if God through something, whether it is Vedantic study or whatever, then freedom becomes the result of some action. And if freedom is a result, then it will have a beginning and an end. And so I did not get liberation through Shravanam or Mananam. I am not going to get liberated through Nididhyasanam also. Then why I am doing all this? Through Shravanam I come to know that I need not get liberation. Look at that. Through Shravanam I come to understand that I need not get liberation. Why? Because I was never bound. Bondage was a misconception. Thinking that I am bound, that is a misconception. I am Nitya Muktaha. Dropping the misconception and the expectation. That is the purpose of meditation. And Niriham. Niriham means free from Iha. Iha means Iccha or Karma. So both means are Karma and Iccha, both means are taken. So Niriham. Niriham means free from both. Iccha Rahitam or Karma Rahitam Cha. So, Purnam Brahma is desireless. Iccha means desire. Desireless and also actionless. Karma Rahitam. Then, Niravadi Gaganabham. Previously, Shankaracharya said, it is incomparable, Nirupamam. Still, if one is particular about a comparison, no, I cannot understand. If you say it's not comparable, how can I relate to it? People might want to understand. So, the relativity stuff will come. So if one is particular about that, then we can give one comparison. What is that? Gagana Abham. Abham means similar to, comparable to. What? Gagana. Gagana means Akasha. Akasha, the space. The nearest comparison to Brahman is space. Because there are so many features that are common to Akasha and Brahman. Actually, we have discussed this also earlier. So if you remember, both are ekam. Space also is ekam, Brahman also is ekam, one. Both are asangaha, both are nirakaraha, both are sarva adhara, both are indivisible. So nirvikalpatvam, asangatvam, ekatvam, sarva adharatvam, all are common features between space and Brahman. And therefore gaganabham, gaganabham is gaganatulyam. And what type of Gaganam it is? Niravadi, the boundless, the limitless space. That is why they say Chidakashaha, Chidambaraha. If you go to Chidambaram, the Chidambara, it's a Chidambara Rahasyam, nothing but space. So Chidakasha, all these words are because of this particular reason alone. Then Nishkalam, free from any kalas. Kalas means division. Kala also means limbs. Kalas division. So avayava rahitam. Avayavam are the limbs. So avayava rahitam. There are no limbs. Kala literally means a part. So we can say it is partless. Or kala can mean various limbs also, like hand, head and all that. Then nirvikalpam. Nirvikalpa means without any vikalpas. Without any superimpositions. Kalpana. Kalpana rahitam. So prapancha rahitam ityartha. So nishprapancha. Actually in Mandukya Upanishad, that is how it is referred. So prapancha upashamam. All these, in Mandukya, that is how it is described, prapancha upashamam. All the Upanishadic ideas, they are all culled by Acharya together in one place here. And such a Brahman, the meditator invokes, not as an object, tad brahma aham asmi. That Brahman is nothing but myself. That is how the Samadhi Abhyasa, he practices. Continuing with the next sloka. Sloka 409.
Prakriti vikriti shunyam bhavana tita bhavam samarasama samanam mana sambandha duram nigama vachana siddham nityam asmat prasiddham Kridikalayati vidvan brahmapurnam samadho.
So, for example, you have been meditating based on the previous loka and somebody would like to say, no, this is a boring meditation, let me change the meditation. I would like a change because we always look for change. So, Shankaracharya says, I will give you another set of features now for you to meditate, the nature of Brahman he gave. You may think actually in all these lines as mentioned earlier, the fourth line is common. Vidwan Samadav Hridi Purnam Brahma Kalayati. That is common. So the person meditates upon such a Brahman. And what type of Brahman? Prakriti Vikriti Shunyam. The Brahman which has neither cause nor effect. Prakriti Vikriti Shunyam. Prakriti is Karana. And Vikriti is Karyam. Shunyam means without. So Karana Karya Rahitam. That's what it means. That means what? We have to understand what it is. Brahman does not have any cause. That is, Brahman is not a product out of anything. It is a causeless cause. We have already seen that earlier. So Brahman is not produced out of anything. Brahman does not have any effect also. That is, Brahman is not a cause of anything. Now here, confusion will naturally come. Because everywhere what we have been telling, if we say Brahman does not have any effect, but all the Upanishads, Brahma Sutras, they all, what do they define Brahman? They define Brahman as Jagat Karanam. The world is the effect of Brahman. So all the Upanishads, Brahma Sutras, all in Bhagavad Gita, they all say Jagat Karanam is Brahman. But now we are saying Brahman is not a cause of anything also. Then there is an apparent contradiction. We say actually both statements are same only. When we say Brahman has got an effect, then we mean Brahman has got an apparent effect or an unreal product. And the real world is not born, but an unreal world is born. That is what we mean. So both statements are okay. Exactly, it's like saying what? That a real snake is not born, there was a rope. The real snake is not born out of the rope, but at the same time, an unreal snake is born out of rope. Because of my ignorance, I thought it is a snake, but there is no snake at all. So a real snake is not born out of rope, but an unreal snake is born out of rope. A real dream world is not born of the waker. Another example. But an unreal dream world that is born. So both born and not born, both are correct. Only the difference is what? How to understand each one of them. Therefore, a real world is not born out of Brahman. Then Bhavana Atita Bhavam. Bhavana Atita Bhavam, having the nature which is inconceivable. Bhavana Atita Bhavam. Bhavana means a concept. Bhavana Atitam means beyond conception or inconceivable. Bhava, Bhava means Swarupa. So the final meaning is what? It's Achintya Swarupam. It is inconceivable. And so it cannot be objectified in meditation because you cannot conceive it. Then Samarasam. Samarasam means, which everywhere we have seen this, Samam. Samam means harmonious. So Samarasaha Swarupaha Yasya. It's a uniform nature. In Bhagavad Gita also, Vidya Vidaya Sampanne Brahmane Gavi Hastini. Again, Samam Sarveshu Bhuteshu Tishtantam Parameshwaram. All these various things are told in various places in the scriptures. So that's Samam. And Samam is that equanimity. Then, Asamanam. Asamanam, this is same as Nirupamam. You know, we saw Nirupamam in the previous sloka. This is same like that. So, matchless. Na vidyate samanam yasya tat asamanam. Then, mana sambandha duram. Mana sambandha duram, it is beyond all instruments of knowledge. Mana means pramanam here. Manam is pramanam. Sambandha. Sambandha is contact. Duram. Duram is beyond. So, beyond the contact of, beyond the access of all the instruments of knowledge, pramana. So sarva pramana agocharam. In simple language, we can call it aprameyam, unobjectifiable. And then the question will be, why it cannot be objectified? Not because it is not there. Why Brahman cannot be objectified? Not because it is not there, but it is in the form of the very I. Who is the objectifier? I don't know the situation exists. So who is the objectifier? Remember, we know the rule, we have already seen this. The objectifier cannot be objectified. A camera, for example, the camera takes million pictures, but the camera itself cannot be photographed by itself. So mana sambandha duram and nigama vachana siddham. That is the next feature. It is revealed siddham through the words of the shastras. Shastra pramana prakashitam. Nigama. Nigama means Vedas here. The shastras. Nigama vachanam means Veda vakyam. Veda pramanam. So that which is revealed through Veda pramana. How Veda pramana can reveal if it cannot be objectified by anyone? If we ask that question, again we have to remember the example. Even though the eyes, our eyes, cannot see themselves, there is one method of seeing the eye. How do we see it? Namely, when we use the mirror. Similarly, I can never know my nature. But if at all I want to know my nature, there is only one method. That is called Veda Darpanaha. Darpana means mirror. So using the mirror of Shastra, I know who I am. Therefore, Nigama Vachana Siddham. And how is that Brahman available? Nityam Asmat Prasiddham, which is ever evident, Nityam, in the form of I, the consciousness principle. There is no time when you don't experience Brahman. We experience Brahman all the time. How do you experience Brahman? Because I am a conscious being. Conscious being, that is, that consciousness is Brahman. I am conscious of everything. So, that consciousness is Brahman. So, prasiddham. Prasiddham means evident. Evident, asmat. Asmat as the very I. As the very I, the same, the observer. So, the same idea is given actually in the Dakshinamurti Stotram also. Actually, we dealt with Dakshinamurti Stotram, I think, quite some time ago. All those lectures are also there in the website. Balyadishvapi jagradadishu tatham sarvavavastha swapi vyavrittasu anuvartamanam ahamityantaspurantam sadam swatmanam prakatikaroti bhajatam yomudraya badraya tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Namayidam Shri Dakshina Murtaye. And again, so this we have already seen in the Dakshinamurti Stotra. So the fourth line, this is common in all the three shlokas, as we said earlier, so we won't go with the meaning of that. So we have to only remember what was described in the previous shloka for the fourth line of this shloka also. Shloka 410. Ajaram amaramastha basavastu swarupam timita salila rashi prakyamakya vihinam shamita guna vikaram shashvatam shantamekam kritikalayati vidvan brahmapurnam samadho. All are beautiful shlokas, 410. The fourth line, as I said, is also common. So the wise people, they practice samadhi abhyasa, abhyasa absorption in Brahman. And what type of Brahman? Again, more description is given here. Ajaram. Ajaram means jara rahitam, without decay or without any old age, jara. And amaram, without any death. So jara marana varjitam. That is how one imagines that Brahman. And then the next word is, that should be split actually, the next word is a little difficult word, so let us see how we can describe that. So, astha abhasa vastu swarupam. Vastu swarupam, it's endowed with the nature, an absolute nature. So, paramarthika swarupam, it is endowed with the absolute nature, paramarthika swarupam, which is astha abhasam. Astha abhasam means, it is free from, actually it disappears. It is like we call it Surya Astamanam. Surya Astamanam means the Surya disappears from this word only, that Astamanam and all has come. So Asta Abhasam. Abhasa, that we can call it as all kinds of false appearances. Mithyavastu. We can call it Mithyavastu, unreal things. All appearances. They are all appearances. They are not real. So Asta Abhasa means what? ఇట్ ఈస్ ఫ్రీ ఫ్రమ్ అస్తాభాస, ఇట్ ఈస్ ఫ్రీ ఫ్రమ్ అస్త ప్రపంచ, వి కెన్ సే బికాస్ దిస్ వర్డ్ అస్త ప్రపంచ విచ్ కెన్ బి అండర్స్టూడ్ అస్ ప్రపంచరహిత. సో ఇట్ వీ కెన్ కాల్ ఇట్ ప్రపంచ, దర్ ఇస్ నో వర్ల్డ్ రియల్ వర్ల్డ్ అట్ ఆల్, ఇట్ ఓన్లీ అపియర్స్. సో మిథ్యా. సో ప్రపంచరహిత వస్తుస్వరూపం. సో అస్త ఆభాస, దిస్ ఇస్ హౌ వి హావ్ నౌ ఆచార్య హ్యాస్ ట్రాన్స్లేటెడ్ ఇట్. సో ప్రపంచరహిత వస్తుస్వరూపం of a nature in which there is no world at all. That is prapancha rahitam. Asta abhasa. Abhasa means prapancha. The appearances, that means what? The entire world appears only as real, but it is not real. So it is mithya. And stimita salila rasi prakhyam. It is another example he is giving here. So salila rasi is, you know, is ocean. It refers to a huge reservoir of water. That is Salila Rasi is a huge reservoir of water, which is the ocean. And what type of ocean it is? Stimitam. It is still. It is very calm. The Pacific Ocean is supposed to be very calm. It is a tranquil reservoir, Shantaha. Therefore, Stimita Salila Rasi means what? A Shanta Samudra. Shanta Samudra Prakya. It is comparable to that. Prakya refers to, it is comparable to a calm ocean. A ocean without any waves, without any storms, without any hurricanes, without any agitation. Such a ocean. That is like Brahman is comparable to such a calm ocean in meditation. So during meditation, one meditates upon Brahman comparable to a calm ocean. But during Vyavahara, one has to be careful. This is during meditation, Samadhi Abhyasa. But during Vyavahara, when we transact business in day-to-day world, it is comparable to what? It is comparable to a stormy ocean. Now, it is comparable to a calm ocean or waveless ocean. Prakyam. Prakyam means similar. Then, Akyavihinam. It is Namarahitam, free from any name. No name at all to Brahman. Then what about all the names that we give? They are only pseudo-names. They are all names given only for relative standpoint. But from its own standpoint, there is no name that can be given to Brahman. That is why in Mandukya, we see that the Turiyapadam, that is named as silence. One should not think Turiyapadam is silence is a name for Brahman. It is termed as, named as silence. Silence is not another word. It is what? What? Amatras Chaturtaha. That is how it is mentioned there in Mandukya Upanishad. Amatras Chaturtaha. Because any naming is limiting. If you name Brahman by any name, that means what? He is limited. To name anything is to limit. So no name can be attributed to Brahman. So it is Nama Rahitam. Then Samita Guna Vikaram. So all the products of the three gunas. Gunavikaram. Vikara means karyam, modification. We have seen this earlier. Gunavikara means three guna karyam, the effects of the three gunas. And what is that? The entire universe. The entire universe is three guna karyam, is the effect of the three gunas. So the external world also is three guna karyam, the entire prapancha. And the internal thoughts, they are also three guna karyam. Every thought is either a sattvic thought or a rajasic thought or a tamasic thought. And sattvic vritti or sattvic thought is called shanta vrittihi. And rajasic thoughts, rajasa vritti, that is called gora vrittihi. And tamasa vritti, tamasic thoughts, that is called mooda vrittihi. So all our thoughts are either shanta or gora or mooda vrittayaha. And panchadashi, actually this panchadashi of Vidyarani Swamiji, in the 15th chapter, these three types of vritti, the shanta vritti, gora vritti and mooda vritti, they are extremely very well elaborately analyzed there. So we don't have to go to the details now. So the internal world of thoughts is guna vikaraha. And the external world of objects, that is also guna vikaraha. Whereas Brahman is free from both of them. So our internal world of thoughts is guna vikara. External world of objects is guna vikara. Brahman alone is free from both of them. Samitam. Samitam means what? That in which all the products of gunas are resolved. Samitam. Then Shashvatam. Shashvatam means eternal. And Shantam, because it is eternal, It is also samitam, only tranquil. It is shantam. Why it is tranquil? Samita guna vikaratvata shantam. Again, all the ideas from the Mandukya, Mandukya Upanishad only, shantam, shivam, advaitam, chaturtam, manyante, sa atma, sa vijneyaha. That shantam, shivam, advaitam, chaturtam, manyante. So the Turiya Pada, that is described here as shantam here. So, and how many such Brahmans are there? Ekam, there is only one such. And what is that Brahman? That is the biggest shocker. That Brahman is I, myself. That we should not forget. So, Ekam Brahma, Satcha Brahman, Vidwan, Hridi, Kalayati. The fourth line. So, all these shlokas are all Nididhyasana shlokas. We have to remember that. Like the, actually Acharya wrote several Nididhyasana shlokas. You know, many of them, for example, Nirvana Dashakam, Nirvana Shatkam, Advaita Panchakam, so many meditation verses Acharya has written. But in Vedanta Granthas, like Viveka Chudamani also, he has incorporated some of these, you know, Nididhyasana shlokas or ideas for people to do Nididhyasana, practice Nididhyasana. These are all meditation on self-glory. Here also one has to be careful. Is it not arrogant? Because one can think it's a self-glory. Is it not arrogant, if anybody asks? If one claims, these are all subtle differences. That's why I spend time in mentioning them. If when we say self-glory, if a person claims glory to one's ego, then that is arrogant. Ego has no glory at all whatsoever. And also for each glory, there are several weaknesses also. Each glory of ahankara, ego, there are several weaknesses. Therefore, it is arrogance if I claim the glory for my ego. And what is the definition of ego? It's not definition, it's a technical definition. We have seen this earlier. I'm just only recapitulating here. Chaitanya pratibimba sahita shariram. That is the definition of ego. It does not have any glory. The reflected consciousness, the body along with the reflected consciousness, that's the ego. If you claim the glory belonging to the Chaitanya, then it is not arrogance. Firmly I can claim I am Nityaha, I am Shuddhaha, I am Sarvadharaha, if the I means Chaitanya. And that is if a person can claim like that means it is wisdom. May you practice this meditation. That's what Acharya tells us. Continuing the next shloka, shloka 411.
Samahitanta karana swarupe vilokayatmanam akandavaibhavam vichindibandam bhavagandagantitam yatmena pumspam safali kurushva.
Actually, as was given in the previous three shlokas, may you invoke, may you think of your higher nature in a calm, in a tranquil mind. Now if you look at the second line here, Atmanam Vilokaya. Atmanam Vilokaya. That's what is given here. Vilokaya Atmanam Akandamaibhavam. So Atmanam Vilokaya. May you think of your higher nature. Vilokaya. That literally means perceive or see. Here seeing is what? Here is not a sensory perception, but it is appreciation, it is invocation, or it is recollection of the Vedantic teaching. Because the higher nature has been revealed when? During Shravanam. Now, whatever you have learnt in Shravanam, recollect it now in Nididhyasanam. So, Atmanam Vilokaya. And what type of higher nature it is? Akanda Vaibhavam, whose glory is akandam, limitless. It is boundless glory. Because all the glories like Srishti, Sthiti, Laya, they belong to Atma only. Mayeva sakalam jatam, mayi sarvam pratishtitam, mayi sarvam layam yati, tad brahma advayam aham asmi. May you see your glory. And where do you see that? Samahita antakarana swarupe. In your mind, antakaranam, which has been made tranquil in the seat of meditation. Samahitam means quietened, focused. So in a quiet mind, antakarana swarupe, the whole line is actually is one compound word actually, samasa, big samasa. So here, samahitam refers to samadhau vartamanam, the mind in samadhi, a silent 100% mind is available, which is capable of absorption. If the mind has some thoughts of other kinds, it is not 100% available for nididhyasanam. Whereas this quietened mind is 100% available to absorb this idea. So avalokaya, akhanda vaibhavam atmanam, the atma with infinite glory, akhanda vaibhavam. Actually it's a bahuvriki samasa, akhandam vaibhavam yasya atmanaha tam atmanam. That's how one has to understand that. And having invoked your higher nature, what do you do? May you forget all the bonds belonging to the lower eye. Lower eye is what? The ego eye, the crooked eye. You know, when you write the small eye, it's a crooked eye. The big eye is a straight eye. So, bandham vichindi, may you break or destroy all your bonds, bandham, all your strings, all the chains belonging to the lower eye, the ahankara eye, the ego eye. And again, what is the technical definition of ego? In Vedanta, it is not the arrogance as we know. It is the anatma plus reflected consciousness. Anatma is what? The body. And the reflected consciousness. So, the live anatma is ego. Pratibimba chaitanya sahida anatma. We just saw earlier. May you neither be interested in anatma nor in the reflection in the anatma. That is the reflected consciousness. No. May you own up the original consciousness. And why should you break this ahankara bond? Because bhava ganda ganditam. Ahankara has got a foul smell. Look at Acharya. It stinks. Ahankara stinks, he says. He wants to use all kinds of disgusting words so that we may drop them. Earlier also, when he described shariram, we went through all that. And what is the foul smell in this ego? Foul smell of samsara. What are they? Raga, dvesha, kama, krodha. They are all like foul smell. They are all belonging to the sukshma shariram. And the foul smell then belonging to the sukshma shariram. The stura shariram is what? We don't have to even tell. The number of different types of perfumes and soaps and scents all available. They all talk about the foul smells belonging to these two, la shariram, the grass body. Therefore, bhavaganda. Bhavaganda means samsara. Bhava is samsara. Samsara ganda, which is afflicted by, which is tinged with the impurities of samsara. And it is not going to be very easy. He accepts it. Acharya says, yeah, it is not easy to remove them. Yatnena. Yatnena means with lot of effort. And that should be connected to the third line. Yatnena vichindi. May you drop the obsession with your ego with effort, enormous effort. It is very difficult to get rid of this ego. Any amount of effort is worth it to remove that. And if you do that, what is the achievement in it? Pumstvam safali kurushva. May you make your human birth, pumstvam, what a strong statement. May you make your human birth meaningful. All other things that a person achieves, they are all just something. If one has to make the life meaningful, purposeful, pumstvam means purushatvam or manushyatvam, manushya janma, to justify the name of a human being. Safali kurushva, make it meaningful, make it purposeful. And if you don't accomplish this, all other accomplishments, they are all just meaningless. In Kena Upanishad, iha chet avedit, atha satyamasti, nached iha avadit, avedit, mahati vinishtihi. If you gain this knowledge, the life is meaningful. If not, whatever else you gain, the loss is infinite loss. And that is what is hinted here. Actually, I may be starting the next Upanishad lectures for Kena Upanishad. Just I wanted to mention here. Sloka 412, I think I made one more sloka. Sarvopadi vinirmuktam sachidanandamadvayam bhavayatmanam atmastham nabhuyakalpasedvane. So for this purpose, for making the life meaningful or fruitful, what you should do? Atmanam bhavaya. Actually, it's almost repetition of the previous loka. May you invoke, may you think of your higher nature as often as possible. The more your mind dwells upon the higher nature, less significant the lower nature will become. Actually, I always give the example of the big gopurams, the Rajagopuram in our temples. The temple tower, the Rajagopuram is so high. If you stay at the bottom, and then if you look around, you see all kachara you see. But if you go up to the top of that gopuram and look around, you don't see any dirt or anything anywhere. You see so nice nature all around. And once you try to relate yourself to your higher nature, all other things, afflictions and all the dirt accompanying the lower nature, they naturally disappear. So that is what is described here actually. And about the Atma, Sarvopadi Vinirmuktam. That Atma which is free from all relationship. Sarvopadi Vinirmuktam. Any relationship that belongs to what? To the ego, not to Atma. Relationship includes what? Things, relationship with things, relationship with people, relationship with situations. So all of them. So any form of Sangha, association that belongs to what? Anatma, not to Atma. Atma is Asanga Swarupaha. Asangoham, 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 Punapunaha. Satchidanandarupoham ahamevamahamavyayaha. Acharya asking somewhere else. So it is asanga swarupaha. So that will become, in all other things, sangha, all other relationships will become insignificant. Sarva upadihi, sarva upadhi association. That is the sthula, sukshma, karana upadhi, karana sharira upadhi, vinirmuktam, divide of all of them. And satchidanandam advayam. Your higher nature, which is Sat, Chit and Ananda, Satchidanandam, Advayam. Actually, we are not explaining all those terms here because we have seen them so many times earlier. I don't want to repeat them again and again. And Advayam. Advayam means non-dual. And Atmastam, which is appreciated in the mind. Here, Atma is not Satchidananda Atma, this Atma. Even though Atma is everywhere, it can be recognized only in the mind. And that too in one's own mind. I cannot recognize my Atma, my Swarupam in your mind. So how do you recognize Atma? As the Sakshi Chaitanyam, the witness consciousness of both the presence of thoughts and more importantly, the absence of thoughts also. I say my mind is blank. How do I say that? If it is not illumined by something, and that something is consciousness or Chaitanyam. So, chitta vritti bhava abhava sakshi rupena, in the form of sakshi, in the form of witness. Atmastam, atmastam is located in the mind. And here, as I told, the word atma here means the mind. And bhavaya atmanam, in that usage, that atma refers to the Satchidananda Atma. So, in the same sloka, actually in almost next words, one word means the antakarana mind, another place, the another meaning for the same word in the same sloka is Satchidananda Atma. That is why we need all these and the acharyas who commented on this for us to understand. Otherwise we can never be confused. Atmastam refers to mind. And stam means obtaining. Therefore, atmastam, that means antakarane sakshi rupena vartamanam. So, yo veda nihidam kuhayam. So, guha nihitam ityartha. And if I do it sufficiently, if I keep on practicing the samadhi abhyasa sufficiently, once the ego becomes less and less significant, my subconscious mind, that also gets flushed off ego. All ego-oriented thinking, they all get flushed away. And once the ego-oriented thinking becomes weaker and weaker, all the kamas, what will be my future? Because all these problems we all have. What is going to be my future? Who is going to take care of me? When we talk about future belongs to Atma or ego. Again. past, present, future, they all from the standpoint of only ego. And when I am less and less bothered about future, how I will be bothered about next birth at all? No, I won't care. That also will become weaker. In short, ego loses its power, or its battery, we can call it. And who charges the ego battery? Ourselves. We only charge our own ego battery. Therefore, you know, in cars, you know, you got the alternator and all that charges the battery. So here we got our own ego, we charge our own batteries. Bhuyaha advane na kalpase. You will not be fit for punarjanma. Bhuyaha, punarjanma. Because fitness is caused by obsession with next birth. Where it is said in Mundaka Upanishad, actually, that's a beautiful saying there. Kamanya kamayate manyamanaha sa kamabir jayate tatra tatra paryapta kamasya kritatmanastu ihaiva sarve praviliyanti kamaha. When a person dies with strong unfulfilled desires, he has been thinking of so many things, he dies. So kamanya kamayate manyamanaha. Then because of the very urge, because of that force itself, the ego survives. In fact, kama is the water of crystallization almost. Once kama is born, ego becomes melted or powdery it becomes. When kama is there, so saha kama bir jayate tatra tatra. Kama pushes him to fulfill that desire. Whatever desire it pushes him. Pariyatma kamasya kritatmanastho. No more obsession. When the ego loses its binding force, the gum, let us say the sticking force, once that is removed, ihaiva sarve praviliyanti kamaha. Here itself, the ego is dissolved into the samashti ishvara or hiranyagarbha. And therefore Shankaracharya says here, you become unfit, unqualified, ineligible. For what? Advane, advā means the journey of samsara. Literally it means margaha. That means margaha. So you become unfit for the journey of samsara. That means what? You won't be in samsara anymore. So in this context actually margaha. Margaha means journey. The journey, what journey? Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam. That journey. So this is the fourth, this is the thing actually, it is a nakarantaha, advā, advanau, advanaha. Advane Satuti Bhakti, again for those people who are interested in that. So for the samsaric journey, you will become unqualified. You will become ineligible. Bhuyaha. Bhuyaha means for the repeated journey of Punarapi Jananam, Punarapi Maranam, you will become ineligible. That means you will get moksha. Na kalpase. You become ineligible or you become unfit. So we will perhaps stop here and we will take some question. Let me stop. I cannot stop recording. Then I cannot hear anything. Let me stop recording here.